An evil is coming that threatens our kingdom, our freedom. But we have a weapon. They are not prepared for.
My king, the Europeans wish to conquer us. They will not stop until the whole of Africa is theirs. We must fight back for our people.
Maniska, you are asking me to take them to war. War.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Don't know, but take my power. Don't know.
You are called to join the King's Guard. No kingdom in all of Africa shares this privilege. Train hard, fight harder. We fear no one. And we fear no pain. I offer you a choice. Fight or we die.
Gina Prince Bythewood's The Woman King had a big opening weekend, beating expectations with $19.1 million while earning an A-plus cinema score. With a cast led by Oscar winner Viola Davis, the historical action film follows the all-woman warriors known as the Igoji, and it was lensed on location in South Africa by cinematographer Polly Morgan, who is our guest today on Behind the Screen. Her credits also include Where the Crawdads Sing, A Quiet Place Part 2, Lucy in the Sky, and series Legion. I'm Carolyn Giardina. Welcome to the Hollywood Reporter's Behind the Screen. Polly, congratulations on the film.
Thank you. I'm so excited that it's doing so well and you know, people are going to see it.
This was the first time that you worked with Gina, correct?
Yes. In fact, I didn't actually meet Gina until we were on an airplane flying across the Atlantic to South Africa, because we had met via Zoom and then had a number of phone calls while I was in Louisiana shooting Where the Crawdads Sing. And I actually just had 3 days after wrapping that before I had to get on a plane and go off to meet her.
How did the two of you meet and what were some of those early conversations like?
My agent sent me the script, and you know, it was such an incredible story, and you know, just the scope of the piece and the drama that unfolded within it was so incredible. I mean, you don't get to read scripts like that every day, and so you know, I was thrilled when Gina wanted to meet with me, and we just met for the first time over Zoom. And you know, she sort of expressed to me that she wanted to make this historical epic and she wanted to portray Africa as a lush and rich place. She wanted to have lots of saturated color and beautiful light. And she wanted to photograph these women in a way that we hadn't seen before. So it was very exciting. And I think that she really felt great responsibility of bringing this story to life. And the fact that, you know, it's sort of her ancestry and that we were going to go to the continent of Africa to make this movie. It was a very powerful experience for her. So, you know, I was very excited when she asked me to join her on that journey.
When you talk about lensing these women in a way we haven't seen before, would you elaborate on your approach?
I think as a Black woman, Gina had felt that sometimes Black skin isn't photographed in a way that she would like it to be. And I think she really wanted me to just show off how beautiful it is, which wasn't difficult because the women in this movie are so gorgeous. And I think, you know, we obviously had some big night exterior work, and we just wanted to make sure that these women really shone in their environment, and they didn't get lost too much in the shadows. Dark skin in a, you know, dark night in 1823, you know, there's not sort of urban sources or a lot of light around. So we just really worked hard to address that balance of really making sure that we could see everybody clearly, but also, you know, treading that fine line of not making it too bright and making it feel real, and feeling the flames on their skin, you know, really feeling the fire and feeling that that was a source of light, while obviously supplementing it with movie light also. So, you know, that was just something that obviously working in this environment was at the top of the list.
Would you elaborate on how you shot some of those big night sequences? How did you light them?
So the big night exteriors, especially the opening battle scene at the start of the movie, was it was a little daunting because we shot that on location up in Caserdin in the north of South Africa. And we had to bring every single piece of gear with us from Cape Town. We bought every background extra, every cable, every crew person. And it was in a very remote part of the country, actually on a game reserve. So we really just surrounded the set with large cranes, heavy construction cranes, and Condor lighting lifts. And we would make these moon boxes where we would rig on truss film gear Helios light fixtures. And sometimes you would have 12 lights up in each box. And these fixtures were always controllable via an iPad where we could control either the intensity of the light or the color of the light. And so these big moon boxes ringed our set and enabled us to move quite quickly just by being able to control them via a digital iPad. And, you know, we would just literally bring them up and down depending on which angle we were shooting in. And then also we used firelight a lot to sort of supplement the higher soft moonlight that kind of illuminated the whole set as our ambient exposure. So we would have practical fires and also flame bars on set. I really felt that wherever possible, we should light with real fire as opposed to having sort of a digital fire effect from a digital fixture. Because I think the color and the flicker just really just feels more real. So that was our approach. And we just, you know, balanced between the color of the moonlight, not making it too cool and blue in contrast to the warmth of the firelight. And, you know, we just really chose to photograph that big battle scene with a very kinetic camera where we actually had a rig that we invented called the Spring Balance, which was a mechanical gauge that they use in car manufacturing. And it was rigged off a crane with a cable, and we rigged our camera from that, and we could move it around very quickly, and we could do 360s and move it up and down, but it would remain quite stable. So it was sort of a more sort of stable version of handheld that enable Gina to really, you know, capture the action in a dynamic way.
Interesting. And that was with an Arri, and what type of lenses did you use?
So we shot the movie with Arri cameras. We used the Alexa Mini LF and also the Alexa 65. And we paired those with some T-series anamorphic lenses from Panavision and also some large format Panaspeeds from Panavision, which were, they were detuned for us by Dan Sasaki in Woodland Hills, just sort of to lower the contrast in those lenses and let me capture more information in the shadows. So yeah, we really felt this movie being a historical epic, we wanted to really photograph it like a classic historical epic such as Gladiator or Braveheart. And we really felt sort of the widescreen anamorphic lensing was the right choice.
Now, I saw the movie in Dolby Cinema, and I thought the those, you know, deep blacks and then, you know, the rich colors and, you know, the brightness of the flames were really powerful. Was that your starting point? Is that what you graded for?
So we graded in P3 initially. And then once we had got our theatrical P3 version, we went into Dolby Cinema and did a version for Dolby Vision. And also we went to IMAX and just made sure that the movie translated onto that larger screen as far as the grain, because we had actually added some film grain in the DI in order to just give it some more texture. And because it was a period movie, you know, we just really wanted to make it as filmic as possible and sort of move away from an overly clean digital image. You know, it was our attention from the outset that we didn't want it to feel too glossy or commercial, but we wanted it to have a lot of texture to it. So we added the film grain later in post, but with the large size of the IMAX screen, it was just reading a little bit too much. So we dialed that down for the IMAX version.
Tell us about shooting some of those big battle sequences. How many extras did you have, for example?
So the Woman King shoot was, it was challenging in many ways, but one of them was that a couple of weeks into shooting, Omicron arrived in South Africa. And our plans for these sort of big epic sequences with lots of extras were sort of tampered with because we really couldn't have as many extras on set as we wanted to for health and safety reasons. So we probably had, I think, at the maximum, maybe 150 backgrounds. But on the big battle sequences, all of our background had to be stunt performers. So we were limited in scope there. So it was a wonderful coincidence that in the story, they set the enemy encampment on fire and we could use smoke as a tool in order to help disguise the sort of deep background of certain shots and disguise the fact that really there wasn't necessarily a whole battlefield full of thousands of people all fighting with each other. But we shot the big battle sequence, the Oyo battle, in 11 days. We had 5 days of main unit photography, and the rest was second unit. And it was a lot to do in a little time, but the stunt team did a phenomenal job, and the women were just incredible. And I think the fact that they had worked so hard on preparing for this film that we didn't have to use stunt doubles, and it enabled us to really move the camera freely and capture them in action. And it enabled us to really move as quickly as we needed to.
And then in contrast, you had those really intimate scenes. And I mean, the whole cast was superb. Tell us about just shooting some of those more intimate scenes where you really just focused on the performance.
The smaller quarter scenes, I think, are always my favorite ones to shoot. I mean, I love the fact that I've been challenged and had to do so much sort of challenging work as far as scope and action. But when it comes down to the drama of the scene and it's just, you know, you're there with the actors, it's always a very powerful experience. And especially with Viola Davis and Tuso and John Boyega on this movie, I've never felt so moved as I was listening to them deliver their dialogue. I mean, it moved me to tears often. I think some of the words they say are so powerful, and it makes me cry every time I watch the movie. But just to be there on set was like a masterclass in acting. But you know, I think the one of the things that Gina and I first talked about was the phrase intimately epic. And she definitely wanted the movie to feel epic, but she didn't want to lose the intimacy of the drama. And that to her was one of, you know, the strongest things in the film. And so the story of the sisterhood and the mother and daughter and the power of a close-up and just being able to be there and you know, have a still camera and just really photograph these characters was, it was such an honor. And I think, you know, it's just experiences I'll never forget.
Polly, were there any particularly challenging sequences you wanted to talk about?
Funnily enough, I think some of the more challenging sequences don't seem that challenging when you watch the movie, because some of our big sequences were actually scripted to take place at dusk. And as we know, dusk only lasts about half an hour or maybe 40 minutes. So we had to use giant construction cranes and rig 60 by 60 rags on them. And we would surround the palace build with these cranes and we would move them around and just make sure that we cut out any direct sunlight from the frame. So it was just a different way to sort of show the changing time of day and sort of move from day to night, that we kind of like invested our time in these dust scenes. And I think they look great in the movie, but I do laugh to myself because no one will ever realize how complicated they were to shoot.
What was your favorite scene to shoot and why?
I mean, it's so hard because I have so many favorite ones, but my favorite scene probably is towards the end of the movie when Viola and Tuso are in the garden, just right before the movie finishes. And so many themes just wrapped up into that performance and sort of the emotion of these two women and how they just played so perfectly together. I mean, it was a powerful moment, you know, and Viola Davis to watch her, you know, it's just remarkable to see her embody Naniska and all the work and everything that she put into it. It was very powerful. But I have a lot of favorite ones.
What's another?
I think, again, it's a quieter scene, but the scene between Naoi and Malik in the boarding house after she's lost Izogi. They're in that small room. And again, it's a very quiet moment between these two actors. But again, just sort of the emotion of that moment and having lost someone, you know, that she loved and where she was and sort of all the things, all the emotions that were running through her. And I think she's such an incredible actor. And, you know, just to be able to light that scene in a way that was just, you know, we just had the single source coming through the window and it felt very painterly to me, you know, when I researched this movie and Gina and I looked at references, we looked at a lot of film references, but also I looked at a lot of painters and sort of the firelight that they used and the single source light that they used through windows and that kind of natural light that like the Flemish painters or, you know, painters like Rembrandt used was an inspiration for me. And for that one, I really felt that those references really came alive in that scene.
Would you elaborate a little bit on working with Gina? What was she like on set on a day-to-day basis?
Gina is very impressive because she stays incredibly calm under pressure. I've not worked with anybody before who just is just so solid. There really is nothing that can shake her. And we shot this movie in a very tight schedule and we had a lot to do and we were always chasing our tail. And she always just remained calm. And, you know, I think Gina has this amazing ability of bringing people together and the atmosphere that she created with the actors was so incredible. Like she really drew them together like a family. So, you know, they were really motivated and inspired to give her 100% on set. And I think the crew in South Africa were so incredible. Also, there was no one ever that complained about the amount of work we had to do or how quickly we were moving. Everybody was really motivated and enthusiastic. And I think a lot of that always comes from the people in charge. And I think Gina is a strong leader. And I think it must come from her background in sports. You know, she just really like is a team player, and she just brings people together, and we're all kind of like united under this goal to create this powerful movie. And my experience in prep with Gina was she really brought me into all of her meetings with different departments. And I would often say to her, oh, like, do you really want me to come to this meeting because it's to do with costumes or it's to do with props? And she said to me, if it's in front of the lens, you're involved in it, you know, and I love that. And so I really felt so included from the very beginning, you know, and I think it just helped me in my work to be very much involved with all the meetings with Gersha and her incredible costume design and Akeen and his design. And we were all brought together in a way that really, I think, has had a positive effect on the movie, because we did lots of tests with color and skin tone and the different fabrics and the colors of the fabrics. And, you know, we were all kind of brought together by Gina. And I think that's just one of her strong suits, is that, you know, she's a team player, and she has that wonderful skill.
What was great to see is how many women and people of color that she brought on as department heads. In addition to you, I know it was edited by Terilyn Shropshire, visual effects supervisor was Sarah Bennett, and there were others. What was it like for you and for the whole team, really, to, you know, to come together like that?
I think it was, you know, it felt very natural, strangely, for us all to be there making the movie. And I think it's because it was a female-led story. And so we all just felt like we belonged there together, bringing it to life. I think that Gina felt really strongly about making sure that this story was made by women and people of color, because it represented the story we were telling. And I think it was important for the actors to look around and see themselves reflected and know that they were giving 100% and we were there giving 100%. And, you know, we all felt very strongly about bringing this story to life. I think that, you know, more and more I see women in HOD departments, and I had just come from a movie that had a lot of HODs, female HODs. But this one was so powerful because Kathy was there on set producing. I was there. Our wonderful AD Dale, she was there sort of helping us get it all together. And Gina and Gabby, who was the personal trainer. Sarah was there. I mean, we really were surrounded by a group of really powerful women. And I think in South Africa, that's definitely not the usual experience for the crew there. So, I would often laugh with them about it. it was, I think for them, for the crew in South Africa, it was refreshing. And they said that there was a different feeling on set as opposed to a very male dominated set. There's definitely a different energy when there's a lot of women. And, you know, I'm a great proponent of balance. You know, I think all of us, you know, we know that there are more male cinematographers or visual effects supervisors out there than there are women, but we just want to address the balance, you know. And I think it's wonderful to have a lot of women, but also it's great just to have a balance of male and female energy. I'm just so excited for Gina and for Viola. You know, these women really just fought tooth and nail to get this story told. And Kathy was up all hours of the night dealing with the studio back in LA, just really trying to keep the ball rolling and deal with the COVID crisis and all the different things that came our way. But, you know, Gina is so determined, and she was so true to her vision all the way through production. And she's really made the movie that she set out to make. And I was just so proud to be a part of it.
So Polly, congratulations again on the film, and thank you so much for joining us for this podcast episode.
Thank you.